We continue our learning Lili Nishmas, David Ben Menachem, Shem Nechav Yachad, Mepilich HaSiliyo, we're in Sota, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Hayom Evias Minchasa Besoch Kafifa Mitzris, V'nosna Al Yodeha Kedei L'Yaga'a. So part of the ritual of the Sota, of Bedikas HaSota, testing the Sota, the husband brings a Mincha offering. It's flour, barley flour, not wheat flour, as we'll discuss later in the Mishnah, and brings this on her behalf. And it was brought in a kfifa mitzvah. It was brought in this basket, not made of metal, but rather made of wood. And it was an Egyptian basket. And we mentioned an Egyptian basket, kfifa mitzvah, as we mentioned in the past, because of her promiscuous behavior. And that was typical of Egyptians. So therefore, to disgrace her, we bring it in a kfifa mitzvah. And then, v'nosna al yadek de liyaga'a. And the Kohen would place this basket, this kefifa mitzvah, with the barley flour on her hands, in order to tire her out. We had this before about her going up from her abayis and back and forth in order to tire her out, so hopefully she would confess if indeed she was disloyal, so the thing to her husband. And the same thing is true here. They place it, the Kohen would place it on her hand, k'deliyaga'a. Now, there is some discussion in the Gemara after your Dalid that is saying that you place this on her hands in order to tire her out seems to only follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion, as we'll learn in the third parak, that the Sota had the Mincha offering burnt before she was given to drink from the Mayim HaMa'arim. But the Tanakhama holds that, no, the Hashem's name was there, the whole scroll was erased, and then that cloth with Hashem's name on it when the Psukim was erased, and then the Sota given the waters, that was all done before the Mincha offering was dealt with. Well, if that would be true, she's to hold the basket at this point, it was already erased. So I'm going to tie her out so she would confess. Yeah, but we want her to confess, so we don't have to erase Hashem's name, but we already did. So now, if you erased her, Hashem's name already, and now you're dealing with the Mincha offering, and why would you be tying her out? So the Gemara says that even according to the reason, even according to Tanakhama, we can understand the Mishnah. Why? Because it's true that maybe that the name of Hashem was erased already. Nonetheless, we could avoid something else. We could avoid the Sota exploding and dying. If she's willing to confess, things would hold out for a while. So even after the Hashem's name was erased, and the Sota was given to drink, so we still want to hopefully break her resistance a little bit and make her confess, and that can still happen. If she would confess before, even though Hashem's name is already erased, before at this point tying her out with the Mincha, although the Mincha is being brought afterwards according to the Tanakhama, nonetheless, she can protect herself, and this way, if she's really guilty, the waters will not cause her to explode. Then the Mishnah says, "Kalamanachos chilasan b'chli shareis." This is interesting halacha. When it comes to menachos in general, so we would typically bring the mincha in a kli that was not holy, not a consecrated vessel. And then when we came to the Beis HaMikdash, you put it in a kli shareis, which was consecrated. There were 93 clay shareis in the Beis HaMikdash. You put it in one of them special for the korban mincha. What this Mishnah is teaching us is that even though the kelim that would bring the flour to the Beis HaMikdash were not holy, kelim, were not clay shareis, nonetheless, they had to have the potential of becoming clay shareis, meaning made of the material of clay shareis. So therefore, we assume that means that the Gemara says on your Dalanim Beis, that would mean that you bring them in gold and silver baskets. It's true they were not clay shareis officially, but potentially gold and silver could be made into clay shareis. And the Gemara also on your Dalanim Beis has a machlokas, what materials can be used for clay shareis. Rebbe says that they have to be made of metal. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda says they can be made of wood. So the Mishnah here, which says, oh, this Sota basket, which was clearly something that was not fit, as we'll see in a moment, for a Kli Shareis, obviously follows the opinion of Rebbe that the Kalim could not be made of wood, had to be made of gold or silver, had to be made of metal. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. All Menachos, they start out in a non-holy vessel, and which is made of the same material that a holy vessel is made of. So that's what it means. Kol menachos tchilason v'sofon b'chli shareis. They begin and end in a kli shareis, which means that even the first kli it's in, although it's not officially kli shareis, it's something that's made of material that can become a kli shareis. But v'zo came to the sota, though, tchilason b'chvifa mitzris v'sofon b'chli shareis. It starts out in something that can't be a kli shareis because it's made out of wood. It's a kvifa mitzris, and only then do we put it in a kli shareis. We have to put it in a kli shareis. because it's a mincha, and therefore it has to be consecrated. So it's transferred into a kli shareis from a basket that's made out of material that could not become a kli shareis. Then another difference between the sotah's mincha and other menachos. Kol ha-menachos tu'uno shem and ulevona, v'zo eino tu'uno lo shem and velo levona. All menachos, we'll see that there's an exception to that rule as well, require oil and frankincense, and this one, the sotah's one, does not have it's a mincha, but there's no oil and frankincense. There is another mincha that does, that's a minchas chote. A person does a certain averos where we allow a carbon ole v'yored, where we allow a person to bring a carbon mincha. He's very, very poor. He can bring a karban mincha. The person with a lot of money brings an animal. And then if you have somewhere in between, you bring birds. But if you're really poor, you can bring a karban mincha. That's called the minchas chote. That does not have shemen and levona on it either. But nonetheless, that's true. So that is another case where we have carbon without shemen and levona. But at least there, that was made out of wheat flour, as opposed to the sota, where the carbon mincha is made out of barley flour, and the Mishnah will mention that momentarily. What about, but we do have a carbon mincha saomer, the mincha sota was made out of barley flour, and the mincha saomer as well. Mincha saomer, af al pisha ba mincha saorim, yes, it's true, that was also brought from barley flour, but he hoisa ba geres, the zo ba kemach. There, it was geres, it was sifted, and we sifted it 13 times when it came to the mincha saomer. But when it comes to the mincha sota, it's kemach, it's coarse flour, and we don't sift it, and therefore that's and Rabbi Gamliel tells us the symbolism. Rabbi Gamliel omer, k'shem shema'aseha, ma'ase behema, just like her actions, her behavior, her deeds were like that of an animal, kach karbana macho behema, so to us karban is going to be made out of barley, which is a animal food, and therefore is another example of midah k'negen midah. Perek beis, mishnah beis, haya mevi fiali shel cheres chadasha. Here, the Kohen, now part of preparing the Mayim HaMa'arim, he brought a new fiali as a kli. It's a Greek word, and it's a bowl or a cup, and it was a made out of earthenware, cheres and chadasha and new. And what would he do? V'nosein l'socha chatzi log mayim in akior, and we put water from the kior in there. Now the Gemara in Daf Tes Vavim at Beis has a machokas tanoim, whether you really need a new, we say you really need a new cup. It sounds like from the Mishnah you need a new cup, a new earthenware cup. So Rabbi Shmuel says you need a new one. You need an earthenware cup, a bowl that was never used before. But the Chachamim disagree. As long as it's earthenware, it's okay. And Rabbi Shmuel says, why does it have to be new? Because we learn some of the laws of sota from the laws of mitzora, just like the purification of the mitzora, that he has to go this process, and they need, you use a new earthenware vessel there, it has to be new. So too over here, but the Chachamim disagree. Now, we don't learn the laws of sota from the laws of mitzora, and therefore you don't need a new cup. The Mishnah here says cheres chadasha, seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and yet there are those who don't have the gears of the word chadasha at all in this Mishnah, and therefore this Mishnah could be following, not only Rabbi Shmuel, could follow the opinion of the Chachamim. And what would you put in that earthenware cup? You would put in a chatzi log mayim, a half a log mayim from the kior, which is what the kior in the Beis HaMikdash, which is where the Kohanim would wash their hands and their feet, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer revius. No, it wasn't a half a log of water, but only a quarter of a log. And the Mishnah therefore says the following, Kishem Shememayit Bachsav, Kach Memayit Bamayim. What we're showing is that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim here are consistent. In what way? We'll see later on in Mishnah Gimel, that's the machlokas, how much of the psukim in the Parsha Sota are written on the Megillah on that scroll. Rabbi Yehuda says only a small amount, and the Tanakhama says no, there are more psukim, a larger segment of the Torah is written. So the Gemara here, so the Mishnah here is just pointing out that there's a consistency here. The same way, easy way to remember it, the Tanakhama has more water, a chatzi log mayim, there are more words on the scroll. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says only a Revius Mayim. So there are a few words on the scroll. Then the Mishnah says, Nichnas Lahechal Ufanel Imino. What happens now? The Kohen, after he placed the water in the earthenware cup, he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, and he's there to take the dirt from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash and put it into the water. Why is he going? It says he goes to the Heichal and goes to his right. Why that? Based on the Pasuk, Nicheskel Mem Gimel, Uma'alo Sehu, Pinos Kadim. He should go, means that they're referring to the ramp of the Mizbeach turned eastward. Since the ramp of the Mizbeach was located on the south side, as we know, so if you turn east, you're turning to the right. So therefore, turning east, turning right, that's what he should do. He turns to his right. Umakom Ayasham Amal Amma. And there was a place there, a spot that was one amba by one amma, which you could tell was different than the rest of the floor of the Heichal. V'tavla shel shayish v'tabas ha'isa kavua ba. There was a marble square and board, and there was a ring on it. So the whole floor of the Heichal was marble. But this one was different. It had a ring on it, so you knew you could pull it up. And then that's what he did. When he lifted it up, no tail off from mitachtel, he would take dust from underneath it, and he would place it, that dust, on the water that was in the earthenware vessel, shenamar, as the pasuk says, umin ha'afar, this pasuk's naso, umin ha'afar asher yeh b'kakah ha'mishkan, from the dust that's on the floor in the mishkan, yikach ha'kohen v'asan al-mayim, he'll put it in the water. So this is, he has to be sure, based on the pasuk v'nasan el hamayim, that he adds the dust to the water, not besoch hamayim, which means that it has to be placed in a way that it remains separate from the water. So it has to be noticeable on top of the water, but visible there only at first. Then it shouldn't be so little that it dissolves right away. At the same time, it shouldn't be so much that it never dissolves. Therefore, it starts, and then eventually it dissolves. And the fact that it says here, he puts the water in the cup, and then the dust is added, that is, according to the Rambam, Hilchos Sota, Perek Daled, if you reverse the order and put the dust in first, and then the water, it's not valid, and it cannot be used.